Lord is good. Peculiar joy. I'd forgotten what I was going to speak about this morning, so now I know. This message is about peculiar joy. Yeah. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Wow. Wow. It's all good, isn't it? It's all good. Turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, this morning. We release the word today. Sometimes you just feel so good, you want to bursteth. How many have ever felt so good you just want to burst? Well, hold that, please, until you leave the service. Yeah. We could call this the bursteth message, when the Lord just overflows into our spirit. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5. Lord, give me your words this morning. Amen. Let's look, starting in verse 6 through verse 10. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I added the overtime part in there, but we're not going to pay him any extra for that, right? Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of peace, of grace, this is the scripture I wanted to get to this morning, may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now, would you say that with me? Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Amen. The Lord is bringing us to become a complete man. What perfection is means to complete something. So the process of completion is where I'm going this morning, because the transition from the state that we're in always requires a process to get to the next level that God wants us to become a part of. When we understand the dealings of God in the process, it makes us excited and gives us hope, other than being discouraged by the process. Because sometimes the process or the journey can become so tedious that we lose faith, or we lose hope or confidence in where we're going. It's like a young person starts out on the journey of life in education, and education over many years can become tedious. It can become, the process can become so challenging that we lose the vision of what we're becoming. If we could take as a person and put them, say, in the 40-something-year-old, and bring them back into being 16 years old, they would understand the process a lot better. It's because it's easy to start the journey but quit the journey because we become disillusioned along in the journey. How many have ever faced that? And Christianity is that type of journey, because we tend to become discouraged over the lack of seeming results that we're expecting at any given moment. Understanding that most satisfaction or most fulfillment comes after a period of change that takes place within us in order to bring us to the full maturation or the full place of perfection. That's why he's saying, I'm praying that you'll be perfected, you'll be established, you'll be strengthened, and you will be settled. How many would have paid a few dollars in the past just to have a spirit of settlement in you, where you have a spirit of peace, a spirit of contentment? And the Christian walk is an expression of God creating an image within us, an image of who he is. Because the whole journey, the whole purpose is for him to be formed within me. When he's formed in me, then he can become a perfect expression through me. Until that forming takes place, or that maturation or perfection or establishment or strengthening or settling is created in me, then I'm going to more likely reflect something that's not purely from him, but it's partially from me. It's called the mixture. Amen? How many don't want like the mixture? We want to have the pure expression of the Lord. Turn me down just a little bit, guys, if you would. Turn me down, because I might start hollering in just a minute. Hallelujah. You never know. Okay. So the perfect expression of his image, reflecting his perfection. Everybody say reflecting his perfection. See, we want to become someone like him. I spoke a couple of weeks ago how that in God there is no variation. There is no shadow. There's no turning. There's a constant. The Lord is the origin of everything that we are. The Lord is not past, nor is he present. He just always has been. So there's nothing in God that's changing to accommodate me. There's nothing in the Lord's plan that has to alternate to conform to my plan. Everything that I'm becoming is because of his plan. He is the author. He's the finisher of my faith. Everything that he starts, I simply comply with. That's called his will, right? God has a will. His will is set. I also have a will, but my will can change. God gives me the opportunity to let my will be conformed to his will. Jesus came in that pattern because, remember, he said, behold, I haven't come to do my will, but I've come to do the will of the one who sent me. So when you become less determinate of your own future and your own destiny, the happier you will become. The more you are self-determinate, the more confused you will become and you will be. The more unsatisfied you will find your life in its fulfillment. But when you become determined to follow the will of another, the more satisfying your life becomes. Because you're now putting yourself and your trust and your confidence in someone greater than yourself. When you keep looking to yourself for your own salvation, you'll always come up empty. Hello? When you keep saying, self, get strong. Self, be good. Self, come on, let's make it, pull yourself up by your bootstrap. Come on, self, let's get after it. Yourself always runs into a dead end door. Because God resisteth the proud. God stands against the things of our own nature that we determine by our own will to do. But when we come into a place of humility, it says there, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humility is when you acknowledge there's a greater will at play than your own, and you're willing to submit to that. Amen. Wow. So we have no variation or turning in our life once we tune into his life. Isn't it neat when all of a sudden we are so settled in God that nothing can move us from our position? You know, Paul said it, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There's something that comes for that impartation of God's nature that's created in us. See, it's all about what you're becoming. We say that a lot here. We kind of run it almost to the point that it becomes a tread. You know, we talk about becoming so much, we're like, okay, let's talk about becoming some more. Yeah, we've heard that 10,000 times. But God's going to keep speaking it because that's really where it's at. It's about what you're becoming. Are you becoming like him? Are you responding like him? Are you acting like him? Are you believing like him? Are you focused like him? That's what it's all about. Becoming into the image of the Lord. Hallelujah. Wow, reflecting his perfection. Confident in what he believes. The one thing about Jesus was that he was so confident. He knew who he was. Now, he had the devil come and try to convince him he was someone else. He had men trying to convince him he was someone else. And finally, he put the question back. Hey, guys, who do you say that I am? Well, I mean, all along, he knew who he was, but he wanted to find out what they thought. And they said this and that and this and that. And finally, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Bingo! You hit the nail on the head. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. The confirmation came back to him. Then he said to Peter, because you have this revelation, I will make you a rock. In other words, I'm going to establish you. I'm going to settle you. I'm going to perfect you. Amen? I'm going to strengthen you, Peter. And upon this rock, I'm going to build a church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So I say this morning, Lord, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm going to stand on a rock this morning. The gates of hell. I'm going to resist the devil. And he's going to flee from me. Some of you have been running around letting the devil chase you around town. Quit playing hide and seek with the devil. Come out of your dark place and stand up to him. Resist him. And it's not just some external devil out there that I'm talking about. It's mostly the devil in us. You're resisting the old man. That's why Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. I'm putting to death this thing that's fighting the will of God. I'm not going to keep submitting to this thing that keeps throwing it back in the face of God and challenging him. I'm going to yield myself to the will. Wow. Oh, may the God of grace with the glory perfect you, establish you, strengthen you, settle you. May the peace of God that passed off all understanding rule and guard your heart. What the quiet confidence that God gives us. It translates, confidence translates into boldness. You show me someone that's confident, I'll show you someone that can be bold. I don't want to go around being bold just for boldness' sake. But boy, when the challenge comes that I got to be bold, I want to be bold. I mean, I walk around most of the time like a lamb. Meh, meh, weepy-eyed, crying. But boy, when the time comes that I got to stand up and be a lion, rah! I'm going to be a lion. You see what I'm saying? You walk in the place of humility and brokenness before the Lord. He said, you've partaken together with the sufferings. It's hard sometimes walking with God. And you may walk sometimes, look at the world, may look at you and they think, boy, what a weakling you are. But they just don't know who lives in you yet. They just don't know what God has put in you. It's greater than the world. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There is a Christ in you that is a mighty, living God who has conquered death and hell. Whew. Man, we love it, don't we? You know, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11 says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord said, I've opened the door for you. Come on. Come on in. Enter in. The kingdom is here. What's the kingdom? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to bring you into this door called the kingdom. Into this place called the kingdom. This abundant, everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Wow. Why did this happen to me this morning? I'm not preaching anything that I was prepared to preach. I was going to preach you a message on trust. But hang on, it's still early. Woo! Glory to God. I don't know. I just don't know. Oh, woo. The Lord is good. In chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and by virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly and great and precious promises, that through these, okay, I usually stop right there. I'd say, oh boy, the exceedingly great, precious promises. And all of a sudden, the cha-ching, 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 you know, I'm like, promises. Oh boy, I'm going to be gifted. I'm going to get rich. Oh boy, I want to be famous. Oh boy, promises. That was my mindset. Oh boy, ask and you shall receive. Boy, I had a big wish list. And it all had to do with me and how I benefited. You know, I think most Christians, we think that we're simply in a benefit program. That we're supposed to get something out of this that really blesses us. Well, we know that's true. We get that, right? But that's not what he's talking about. He said that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world through lust. And I was praying that by the spirit of lust, I was praying, lusting after this, lusting after that, lusting after that. A lot of people give that way. They give with the spirit of lust. Oh boy, I'm going to give and now I'm going to be a millionaire. And boy, then I'm going to show you what things are like with my money. That's not why we get. We get to partake of the divine nature of God. Isn't it amazing in the epistles and in Peter and in James, all these scriptures, they don't talk hardly anything about what you do. They talk about what you become. And yet the church is primarily focused on what we do. Amen. Because it's easy to do and not to be. Hallelujah. How many of you guys found out it's not just taking out the trash for your wife that gets the brownie points? It might gain you some favor, but it's not the true favor you're seeking. Amen. It's not, Martha, it's not just waiting on the table. It's sitting at the feet. It's becoming like the one that you adore. It's creating that relationship that God is so honored in, blessed in. So God said, I want you to partake of the divine. I'm giving you all these promises for this reason, to make you partakers of the divine nature. It has nothing to do with what you are. It's who you are. That's God's concerned about. I don't put any value on you according to your giftings or your talents or your ability to give. The only value I can place upon you is the willingness of your own heart to open yourself up to the Lord and to one another. Because guess what? You didn't bring anything into this world. And for certain, you're not taking anything with you. The only thing that you deposit in this world is the deposit that he made in you. Nothing that you created within yourself will last. It'll be forgotten about in a generation or less, mostly less. It might last a few generations, but it won't last. Even if you achieve the greatest achievement of any man could achieve, because you could ask someone right now, who was the president in 1820? I don't know. Who cares? And that Yet when that man died, whoever it was, oh, what a wonderful president. The nation will always remember him. But only a few are remembered. And even then, mostly with the distorted lenses. But in Christ, what's created, that's what's produced in you, the divine nature, is an eternity, is an eternal blessing from God. And then when you have that concept, you have the same concept that Peter and Paul had there. They kept saying, hey, I haven't got but a little time left on this earth. But I know this. I know that there is a God in heaven that sent a son named Jesus who died for me on the cross and gave his life for me, that I too might become partakers of this eternity. Wow. That's what really matters. Are we building our life for an eternity or for a temporal blessing? I want to keep sowing everything I can into that place. I don't want to sow much into this world. I want to sow it into the kingdom. Because guess what? As I said, you didn't bring anything with you, and you're not going to take anything with you. You might as well, while you got it here on earth, whatever you got, whatever talent you got, whatever finance you got, whatever ability you got, you might as well dedicate it today for the kingdom of God. Because that's the only thing that will matter in the long run. Harshness, isn't it? No, it's wonderful because it just takes you out of all this me-ism and the he-ism. From me-ism to he-ism. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. He is the wonderful one. He is the only one to be exalted and admired. His name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! One day in the courts of the Lord. Oh. Woo. Oh. You might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world through lust, but also for this reason, given all diligence. This is what we're to give diligence to. Are you ready to find out that this is your chart of success? This is the flow chart of success. We should write a book. I mean, I don't know why we got all the books, because we got the book. Amen. Why do we need to explain this book? It's pretty self-explanatory. If we just read it with the Spirit, amen. Let's write another book. No, let's read the book. Let's read it right now. We're going to read the book. You ready to read the book? Everybody say, the book. The book. The book. Okay. I told you the story back in the day. I went to this African-American church back in the early 70s, and there was this, and I loved to go to those churches. Man, it was fun. And my wife would get so aggravated because I'd come back and I'd just start preaching like that, you know. She said, somebody's going to get upset when you're preaching like that, because they're going to thank you. You know what they think. But anyway, there's one old preacher got up and he said, he was preaching along. I didn't know he couldn't read. And he had this deacon sitting over there. He said, read the book, deacon. So the deacon would read the book and he said, and the Lord said that you are to practice self-control, perseverance, and godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. And the deacon would shut up, and the preacher would say, yes, and the Lord said, and he would repeat the scripture the deacon just said, then he would expound it. Boy, it was the coolest thing you'd ever heard, because they were reading the book. And when you read the book, you're going to walk the walk. And so what it says, you ready? Woo, where was I? Okay. Divine power, verse 3, given it all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, to which have been given us exceedingly great and precious promises. And we've read that one, and we go on. But this very reason, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. Now what he's telling you, okay, this is how you build the building blocks to become the pillars in the house of God. This is how you become the living stones that are cutting out of a mountain and are built without the hands of men, but by the Spirit of God. This is how we become the structure called the kingdom of God, that God could inhabit that structure with his presence. This is what it takes to get it. Amen? Are you ready to get it? Let's find out. It's easy, isn't it? All we've got to do is give diligence to our faith and add virtue to that, add knowledge to it, add self-control to it, add perseverance to it, add godliness to it, add brotherly kindness to it, and most of all, add love. For if you do these things and abound, you will not be barren, nor will you be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those that lack these things, they're short-sighted. You know, everybody say short-sighted. I mean, say, I don't want to be short-sighted. I want to be long-sighted, whatever that means. I want to be a long-sighted dude this morning. Amen. Even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never, never, and I'm adding a never or two, never, never stumble. Amen? You will never stumble. You should have paid $19.95 for this book, because you just found out how to never stumble. If you will add to your faith virtue, if you will add to your faith godliness, if you will add to your faith diligence, if you will add to your faith knowledge, if you will add to your faith self-control, if you will add to your faith perseverance, if you will add to your faith godliness, if you will add to your faith brotherly kindness, if you will add to your faith love, if you'll do all that, you will not be blind, you will not stumble, you will not fail, but you will be successful in everything that you set your heart to do. Amen? 1995, go to Easy Tide right now and add that in for the success book of the century. Amen. Someone should do that just to take me up on it. Okay. But if 100 of you want to do it, that's fine. You're released to do it in the name of the Lord. Amen. Wow. So you're short-sighted if you lack those things. Brethren, be more diligent to make your calling, election sure. If you do these things, you'll never stumble. Then he says in verse 11, the scripture I was at before, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will not be negligent, just like I'm not being negligent this morning. Everybody say, thank you, Pastor, for not being negligent. Okay. To remind you always of these things, though you know them. You knew all this, didn't you? But I'm reminding you this morning. I'm reminding myself, be diligent to add this stuff to my faith. Be diligent to be perfected. Be diligent to be strengthened. Be diligent to be settled. Be diligent to be perfected. Because if you'll do that, the Lord said, I'll keep opening a door, a window of heaven before you. I'll keep opening a kingdom before you that you can enter into and enjoy the fruitfulness and the blessingness of it. Amen. So, Paul, I'm just taking up what you said this morning, that we be established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, and as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I'm going to put off my tent. In other words, I'm fixing to go on to be in the glory. But in the meantime, I'm going to get on your case a little bit. As our Lord Jesus Christ showed me, there, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Amen. Everybody say, thank you, Peter, for reminding us. We're reading words that were written down a long time ago, still reminding us of these things. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables. We made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Lord, we want to hear this morning from the excellent glory. Hallelujah. We want to hear a voice from the excellent glory that speaks to us today that we are your sons in whom you are well pleased, because we have yielded ourselves to this purpose, this principle of transformation, of this principle of becoming what you've called us to be. Lord, let the excellent glory speak to all of us this morning. Hallelujah. You know, I was in my office this morning, and I told some of you already, I had an encounter with the excellent glory. Woo! How many love the excellent glory? Some of you used to call it the wrecking glory, the wrecking ball. Because when the excellent glory comes, oh, you say, when the excellent glory comes, Lord, don't send too much excellent glory at once. Least I be smitten. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. See, Peter was right up there on that Mount of Transfiguration, and he heard the voice of the Father, and he saw the Lord transfigured right in the midst of him, and Moses and Elijah appearing. Wow. We have this prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy or scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then we won't read the part about the false prophets and teachers in chapter 2. You can read that in your own time, and I won't charge you for that one. Amen. So, Lord, help us today. Enter into your kingdom. Enter into the abundance of the Lord. Create in us this perfection, this strengthening, this establishment, this settlement. And I pray this morning when you go out of here, you're going to go out of here and say, man, I am settled. I'm at peace. I'm in victory, because all this warfare of your mind, you're going to resist it. And you're going to say, Lord, there's an establishment of your presence for me today in the house of the Lord. Amen. Isn't the Lord good? Everybody say, he's so good. Say, he's even more than good. He is wonderful. Say, God is wonderful. Excellent. Mighty. Awesome. Great. Great is our God. And worthy to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain, worthy is the King of glory. The God of light and the God of illumination, the God of transformation, worthy is he. And we give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. Woo. And Lisa, give God a hug back for us this morning. Amen. Hug Jesus real good for us. Amen. Well, the good news this morning. You going to hear the good news? I get to preach the message I was going to preach next time. I don't even have to prepare. I've already got the message I was going to preach next time. This one came from left field. Well, hopefully from right field. Okay. The Lord is good. James Monroe. Let's get some scripture. Get some revelation out of this one.
The fifth president.
Yeah, well, the founding father, right? Fifth president. He was from Virginia. God bless him for that. And his presidency ushered in what is now known as the era of good feelings. Hallelujah. Woo, we received that this morning. Everybody stand up. Say, we received the good feeling this morning. Hold your hands up. Say, I want the good feeling in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.